Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
A number of years ago, St. John Paul II, when he was Pope John Paul II, said, reflecting on scientific inquiry and the search for truth, he said, all truth, all things that are true are like little t truths. And all that is true points to the capital T, truth. Jesus is the truth. And all that is true, all that is good, all that is beautiful points towards Jesus Christ. The order of the universe, all that is worth knowing and worth following points us not towards a truth, but towards the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not one of many, but the way. We all have, or very often, we have crosses in our home. You have a cross somewhere in your home, on a wall somewhere. Maybe in every room. We have crosses in our church, obviously, crosses and crucifixes. People hang crosses around their neck. We have crosses on our rosaries. We'll see crosses on the side of the road. Sometimes people get crosses tattooed on them. Not what I recommend necessarily, okay? But the cross, it's a symbol. It's a sign. It's a symbol and a sign of a way. A way, a direction, a journey. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me on the way. Now that cross, we have to climb the hill of Calvary and die and live a new life in Christ. That's the way. On the other side of the hill of Calvary, following Jesus on the way. A little story about a man walking through the wilderness. He's walking through the wilderness on a difficult and dangerous journey. And lo and behold, he falls down a cliff. And on the way down this cliff, he manages to grab a little tree. And he grabs a hold of this tree and he hangs on for dear life. And he looks down into the abyss and he begins to cry out, help me, please help me. Is anyone up there? After an unbearable silence, a voice finally answers, yes, I am here. Who are you? The man shouts. It's me, the Lord. Greatly relieved, the man says, oh, thank you, God. You come to rescue me. Yes, says the Lord, but you have to trust me and do exactly what I say. Anything, the man says. The voice says, let go and I will catch you. The man thinks for a while, looks into the canyon and says, is anyone else up there? I think that's all of us. But Jesus is really asking us to let go. To let go and let God. To die to our selfishness and live a new life. You know, we do. We climb up the mountain of Calvary and we stare at that cross. And we have to die and have a new life. But so often we get close to the cross and it's too much, the way is too hard, and so we turn around. Jesus says, I am the way. I have prepared a place for you. Come. One of my favorite quotes, and when I'm gone from here, or you're gone from here, as the years unfold, I hope you all remember this, okay? Father Mike used to say, O beauty ever ancient, ever new, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord. O beauty ever ancient, ever new, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. That's St. Augustine. I didn't make that up. That way. C.S. Lewis, a famous author. Any of you that are readers have probably come across C.S. Lewis. If you like to read and you haven't come across C.S. Lewis, I would encourage you. His most famous book is probably Mere Christianity, but he has a whole bookshelf full of books that he's written. And C.S. Lewis, thinking about the Christian life or thinking about humanity, kind of broke down the world into three categories of people. And he says, in the first category, there are those people who look at life for their own sake, for their own pleasure. They regard other human beings and nature as so much raw material to be cut up into whatever shape they need to satisfy themselves. That's one category of people. In religion, they would be pretenders. In religion, they would be lukewarm. And the second category of people that C.S. Lewis kind of hypothesizes about, says those who acknowledge God. They acknowledge that God has some claim on them. They seek, in a sense, the good of society and their family, and they honestly try to pursue, in their own interests, the good of others. They try to surrender to a higher call, but their life is divided. They have a divided heart. It's like a soldier. Sometimes he's on duty and sometimes he's off duty. Like a student. Sometimes I'm in class and sometimes I'm on vacation. Sometimes it's about God and sometimes it's about me. And so there is this divided nature where God is kind of another job to be done, so to speak. And then C.S. Lewis speaks about the third class of people who are like St. Paul. And St. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I have died, and now I live for Christ. These people have gotten rid of the tiresome business of adjusting to rival claims on their life, and they've given themselves to God. They've let go. They let go. And they live a new life in Christ. Where are you? Where are you? Where am I? We're all, I hope, striving and struggling to let go of our worries and truly trust in God. How easy it is to say, yes, I believe in Jesus. How difficult it is to live a life that truly trusts him to provide for us. Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Not death, life, the fullness of life in Christ that comes through the cross, that comes on the other side of the cross when we have been raised. Jesus goes on his way, visiting the sick, telling the truth, even when it's difficult, spending time in prayer. He goes to Jerusalem, he goes to Bethlehem, to Egypt, to Nazareth, to the cross. And from the cross he is raised, and we are in this Easter season. And so now we think about our lives and what we are building. In the second reading tonight, we heard St. Peter use an analogy of a cornerstone. You can imagine that this book is actually a brick, okay? And you take a brick, and if you're going to build a building, you lay the first stone. And the first stone that you lay, everything else is built from that stone. It's all squared on that stone. It's the most important one, and it's the reference for everything else. And Jesus Christ has to be the cornerstone of our lives. And if he's not, if we reject him as the cornerstone and we put him over here somewhere and we build our building, he becomes a stumbling block. Instead of him being the way, he gets in the way. He's an obstacle to us. He's a problem that we have to deal with. We have to incorporate into our lives. But Jesus is telling us today, no, I need to be the cornerstone. I need to set your way, not a way, the way. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you for a moment who you are. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own people, purchased for a price, that you may announce his praises. The praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his own wonderful light. That is who you are. I pray today that each one of us, myself included, may follow Jesus Christ on the way, that we may build our lives with him as the cornerstone and know the truth and live the fullness of life and the eternal life.